Should we be more worried about the offensive line or the secondary?
Boy, these are two things we really weren't having to think about a couple weeks ago. It was more about, we talked about this before the show, it was more about wide receivers and different kind of weapons for Dak Prescott. Now here we are talking about these two things, but for me, it's definitely the offensive line. And this news this week coming down about Travis Frederick having to miss who knows how much time with GBS. Did we ever get a pronunciation on it, by the way?
I think Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, I think it's Guillain-Barré syndrome. Is that correct?
Everything I read when I first did my initial research said Guillain-Barré, but Todd Archer, who had the illness, said it's Guillain.
Guillain-Barré. Okay, this feels like a Tyrod Taylor situation versus Tyrod Taylor.
Just go with the abbreviation.
GBS. I like that from Taylor Phillips.
GBS. So with Travis Frederick being out with GBS, it's kind of like, okay, we know Zach Martin was going to be, at first we were worried about Zach Martin. We know he's not going to play on Sunday. We know Travis Frederick's not going to play for some time. And there was also news at practice this week that Lyle Collins was dealing with a bit of an ankle injury. So now we're looking at, and this was tweeted by John Machota from the Dallas Morning News earlier. Here's the first team offensive line today in practice. You have Cameron Fleming at left tackle. At left guard, you have Connor Williams. Center, you have Joe Looney. Right guard, Kadeem Edwards. Right tackle, Chaz Green. So that's what we have to look forward to this Sunday night, and that kind of worries me a little bit.
And you know what's crazy when you hear that starting offensive line in practice today? And you mentioned Collins. I don't think the Collins thing is very serious.
No,
but still,
he's probably not going to play much
still,
on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's banged up enough to probably miss a preseason game. You probably feel best about Joe Looney out of that group, which is crazy to say because when they got Cam Fleming, you felt a lot better than what you've seen in camp and in the preseason game so far. All the talk was, oh, he filled in great for the Patriots, you know, started in some big games. Hasn't impressed me at all. Connor Williams, clearly still a learning curve there. It's not as simple as plugging him in between two All-Pros. Joe Looney's been pretty good in Frederick's absence. And then at right guard, Kadeem Edwards, he's just a guy. I mean, he's a body that
I think he was in a fight in practice today or yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, if you're known for getting in a fight in practice, that kind of says a lot about your work. And then we all know about Chaz Green. And what's sad is, looking at this now, is Chaz Green, it's looking more and more like he's going to make the final 53 because it is so banged up there. So considering what this looked like a month ago to today, this offensive line has become a bit of a mash unit.
Yes, and going back to Joe Looney real quick, for him on Sunday, a real key part is just going to be becoming more comfortable with the position itself. And I know playing center already comes with the challenges. You're having a guy having to snap the ball and worry about a guy right on top of you. But he's also going to have to get used to making the calls up there at the line. And he mentioned, I heard someone, I don't remember who it was now, I saw an interview where he was talking about, hey, you have a guy like Zach Martin and these all pros around you. It's going to be difficult telling them what to do, but he has to get more comfortable with that because you have to be authoritative in that position. You are the quarterback of that offensive line. Yeah, so this is going to be a key week for him just to get used to the position more.
Yeah, and you know it's his job to make the calls on what that defensive front is doing. Let's hear from head coach Jason Garrett talking about his current starting center filling in for Frederick.
That's one of the real positives of a guy like Joe Looney, who's a veteran player, and he has a good command of what we're trying to do offensively and what defenses try to do. And, you know, when you're in that situation, when you've been a backup and you step into that role, you know, he needs to embrace that part of it, and I think he has. And that certainly is big for the offensive line and really for our whole offense, whether it's setting the mic or identifying where the pressure might be coming from, all those things that are part of a center's responsibility. You know, he and the quarterback do that more than anybody else on your offense. So fortunate to have a veteran guy like Joe, and he's really embracing the responsibilities.
And I will say, I mean, so far so good. I think he's done everything the Cowboys could have asked for and then some filling in for an All-Pro.
13 starts in 59 games for Joe Looney, and he's going to have to go in there to a team with the Cowboys, filling in for a guy like Travis Frederick and having to be seamless with a team that has a lot of high expectations, getting some pieces back on offense and also with some questions, but mainly with Joe Looney, it has to be getting used to that position and being comfortable here in the next 3 or 4 weeks before the season starts.
Yeah, and I think that's what people are going to have to understand, that no matter how good Joe Looney is, Travis Frederick's irreplaceable. I mean, you're right. Talking about probably the best center in the NFL. There is no timetable for this autoimmune disease. It's everybody reacts differently. Now, the news seems good. They seem to have caught it early, but there's just no way of possibly knowing. Todd Archer ESPN.com Cowboys reporter. He's been on this station multiple times this week talking about how he had it as a kid, and obviously 30 years ago things were differently in terms of how you can treat it, and you know, obviously he's also not a world-class athlete, so things are a little different.
He was like
still,
a high school baseball player, and that was going on.
He said it took upwards of a year until he fully felt like himself again. Also from Archer earlier today, he tweeted out on his Twitter page that Frederick has to be on the 53-man roster for at least a day to keep him eligible for the season, which would be September 1st. Then on September 2nd, they could put him on the 8-week IR if they think his timetable is longer. And the reason that's important, Taylor, if there's a guy battling for a fringe roster spot, you're going to have to cut him because you have to have Travis Frederick be eligible on that 53 so you can have at least the chance of having him this year, because I think they do think at some point he will be back. So that's why you look at a guy, you know, some of these fringe roster guys, like, you really better earn it on Sunday night, because if you don't, you know, one guy that's not going to be playing week one will be on the 53 when you cut it down before week one.
This is such an odd situation where anytime there's an injury at the end of preseason, it can be costly for a team. But where it's one weird situation like this, and with that deadline you mentioned coming up in 7 days, 8 days, it's crucial for the Cowboys to have to find something. And you can't find something for Travis Frederick.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of those fringe guys coming up at 8:10 when we discuss some of the things we're looking forward to in the Cowboys game on Sunday night. Let's shift gears here to the defensive side of the ball, the other position that is getting thinner and thinner by the day, the safety group. I'm going to lead more to this group that I'm concerned about, because I think when it comes to the offensive line, the only guy that, unless something changes, that's not going to be there week one is Travis Frederick. By all accounts, Zach Martin is expected to be there. Tyron Smith is good to go. Lyle Collins thing doesn't seem serious. So I think out of the three all pro guys they have, I do think if I had to lose one, it probably would be Frederick, as crazy as that sounds. I just think the blind side with Tyron Smith is critical. We saw that last year. And Zach Martin is such a vital piece in the run game. So I'm going to say the secondary is a bigger concern. The starting safeties in today's practice, any guesses?
I'm going to guess Kayvon Frazier.
He was one of them.
And I don't know the second one.
Tyree Robinson, undrafted player at the other safety. Part of that is Jeff Heath was getting the day off, but we know about Xavier Woods. Not going to be there week one unless something changes. I would guess it might be 2 or 3 weeks into the season. You're talking about a hamstring injury for a safety with, you know, you're turning and running, stopping on a dime all the time. I don't think you can play him out there at that position until he's 100%. So you're looking at going into week one with the combination of Jeff Heath, Kayvon Frazier, and a couple of guys that only guys like you and me have heard of, because we do this from time to time, talking about it here on this station.
Oh, I'd be straight lying to you if I knew who Tyree Robinson was.
You're not familiar with his work?
No. I'm hearing that for the first time. It's just sad to admit.
Well, he was getting the reps today. That's all you need to know. And I've said this all along, Taylor. And he played at Oregon, so I don't know if that helps you at all, if that does anything for you. But
seemed to miss out on him during Pac-12 after
dark. Yeah, when they were giving up 60 points a game last year. I've said this all along. They've been a body short, because the trio of Jeff Heath, Xavier Woods, and Kayvon Frazier, which, by the way, is a pretty thin trio to begin with when you think about them, none of those guys have a lot of starting experience at all. Jeff Heath started last year, but outside of that, you know, really not much from Woods and Kayvon Frazier. But to me, you were already a safety short. Then you lose Xavier Woods. All of a sudden, you're starting two guys that have no business being starters in this league at a position that you're already concerned about. It's troubling to me.
It's troubling. Plus, there's even some things there with, like, with the corners. I mean, are you comfortable with the cornerbacks right now?
Yeah, I mean, and that's just, you're just assuming that guy, Byron Jones, is going to make some seamless transition to corner to be, you know, that number two guy on the opposite side of Chido Awuzie, which is already enough pressure for a guy who's expected to be your number one corner.
And we're not talking about Jordan Lewis at all.
He has not been good.
He has become the forgotten man.
I mean, he's not starting over Anthony Brown at nickel, and Anthony Brown has not been impressive in two preseason games. You know, I just look at this, and at corner, you're inexperienced. At safety, you're inexperienced and you're injured. That front four better be good.
What I think about when I think about this conversation, and I don't want to become too Dallas Sports Radio cliche here, but you needed Earl Thomas before you started losing guys.
Yeah.
And now that you've got guys out, you're kind of thinking back. Now, it kind of plays into the first question. If you go get Earl Thomas, you know, you give up your second, you don't have Connor Williams, so then your offensive line is a bit weaker. But even still now, to me, it's a no-brainer. I get that the Seahawks have to play ball, but you have to be thinking of something like that, because the way as bad as things are right now, it's not like we thought, okay, this was a solid position coming in. We had questions before you had guys go down, and now it's worse.
And look, I like Jeff Heath. He's made some plays in the preseason, but if he's the best
interception leader last year,
if he's the best you've got back there, that's problematic. It really is. And now the thing about the Earl Thomas conversation now, even if you did want to all of a sudden go make that move, what leverage do you have?
Yeah, it was all there. I was just about to say
if
that.
If I'm Seattle, the price just went up, because I'm saying, huh, I mean, you guys clearly need a safety, but you think we're just going to give
them to you? Coming on you quickly.
Well, my thing, too, is like, why was a second-round pick ever too steep? This guy's a perennial all-pro.
Well, that, to me, was the question where, look, a second-round pick, it's a gamble. Any draft pick is a gamble. We've seen it with first-rounders. You know what you're getting in Earl Thomas.
Absolutely.
And to me at the time, look, I'm not going to complain, because it's now turned out that depending on what Connor Williams can do, and I've not been impressed by his camp, but depending on what he can do, that might end up being a really solid pick based on where we are. But at the time, you think if all you have to give up is a second-round pick for an all-pro in Earl Thomas at a position of need, to me, it was a no-brainer at the time.
I mean, when you bring in guys like Tyree Robinson and Jerron Johnson, I guess you're ready to go. I mean, maybe they think they can get away with that.
29 years old? Does that mean 29 years old make any conversation change there?
I think the problem is Dallas is not comfortable with extending him for huge money. I think that's the big thing.
Okay, but Harrison, the thing with that, if you're Seattle, you can't be happy with Earl Thomas right now. You had him running to the locker room last year. Obviously, he doesn't want to be out there. He's about to start losing, what, like $800,000 a week?
Yep.
And so on top of that, to me, I can't believe anybody in that organization would want him around. And if you're Earl Thomas, you want to be out of there so bad. I get you want that next contract, but you don't think Earl Thomas would come play out his contract here and that's it, with no guarantee of a next deal?
Oh, I think he would.
Then what's the issue?
The issue is Seattle, I don't think they want to move him enough. They're not just going to take a second round pick at this point. I think if Dallas called and said, we'll give you next year's second, they'd say no. And I think there may have been a time where they would have said yes, but I think that time's come and gone. And I think any leverage the Cowboys had went out the window when Xavier Woods went down and all these other guys got banged up. I think that secondary group's in trouble.
But at least if he were to come here, the transition may not be quite as bad, knowing Chris Richard is here. Experience there, that could help just as far as learning things. He knows how to coach Earl Thomas, that can make that fit a little easier pretty quickly.
It just makes so much sense, too, because when you're talking about the youth at corner and the other safety spots, who can reel in all of that and guide it? Earl Thomas.
Exactly.
But I guess we're going to go with Jeff Heath and Kayvon Frazier if you're the Dallas Cowboys.